Blog Talk Radio.
And we are on Blog Talk Radio with you this evening for a show of poetry. We are on allpoetry.com. So if you want to go and follow along with the show, go and get yourself free entry to allpoetry.com. Go and tap on the door of the Team of Voices. And from there, you will find one of my colleagues, usually Deborah Lee. We all do some time on the fence. And one of those other colleagues is the man who wrote that piece, Mr. Jay Hatter. Hi, Hatter, how are you?
I'm okay, AP. I'm just fine.
Excellent. Very good. And we also have along for the ride Mr. Dave Prophet. Dave, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty fair. Pretty fair. Can't complain.
Now, I heard that you weren't pretty fair, though, Dave. I heard that things got a bit hairy.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a great big fir tree fall through the middle of my shop, and they had to bring a crane in and pull it out of there, and the section they pulled out was weighed 5,500 pounds.
Jesus!
Mr. Bike,
holy
moly! Yeah, it was just
that sounds bad.
It didn't hit anything valuable in there.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. Trees are okay until they fall across your house or your shop or your property. Then they're not.
Yeah, 95 once they're standing, Dave, but they don't want 95 once they're on the bloody, once they're sitting on all your stuff. I mean, that's no fun at all. So I wish you the best of luck in, you know, getting all that repaired.
Yeah, you know, and then it's not like Oregon is, you know, has a shortage of trees. I mean, we have seas of trees out here.
Well, I was going to say you've got trees and you got more trees,
Most
of them are standing up. But anyway, so very sorry that's happened. And as I said, hope that you've managed to get it cleaned up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Anyways, we are doing an open poetry show today, and we weren't here last week due to sort of illness all around, really. But we are back, and we are going to attack the group of poems that are on the board. And it's quite a decent group, actually, to be honest. It's about 10 or 12 poems, and that's before we get one from you, Hatter. So I'm imagining you've got one. So I just put one on a few minutes ago. Yeah, so grab that out. Okay. And meantime, I'm going to grab the poem by Laurent Monteneur, who was on the board for last week, so I figure I should get him up there fairly early this week. We are going to put that up on the board now, and I will read it, and then we'll get some comments. So thanks, Laurent, for supporting the show, as always. This is Lone Clammy Glade. And it goes a bit like this. The waft is brisk and fain, soothes the clouds that drift and bring the drops of rain drenching and begin to sift. The droplets fall upon the wall and the spry stems lying nigh, while the bustling waters swirl upon the swollen rivulets high, shading then the sylvan woods within the smell of the musk before the coming of the floods. The lapped mulch of leaves crumpling into the old moss in a clump of nimble greaves and the twigs children's truss. A wondrous warbling heard upon the new flight of birds who glide straightway stirred by the wild thundering herds. Winsome stallions who gallop beyond the blossoming grassland amid the soft and lush dollop within the green of the lowland. And I clasp the winds that blow to reach a careless gloom ahead. Abreast lovely blooms that grow upon a wetted land I must tread. Behold the lone clammy glade over the edge of teeming ridges. Across the waters I must wade through the cleft of the breaches. End poem, and he's kind of full glossary there, from cleft through to, I think we all know cleft, but greaves being bushes and sylvan relating to the woods and rivulets, small rivers, which makes sense. Spry being active. A wall is a circular arrangement of like parts as a leaf or flower. And a wafters, a small wafts or small little breathes or breaths of air. And while I've been reading that, I've been joined by Deborah Lee. Deb, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Did you want to pass any... Did you hear that poem by Laurent? And secondly, would you like to comment?
I didn't. I just got here and I'm putting in those SoundCloud that I forgot to put in. I'm sorry.
Perfect. All good. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Dave, did you want to comment on that poem by Laurent?
Yeah, I sure did. This was really pretty. It takes the reader and puts them right there in the scene. You can visualize everything he's talking about. The metaphors and the way he used them were really effective, I think. I don't know, you know, I'm taking everything at face value in this poem. I don't know. How to read into anything other than what it really is to me, and I take away that it's just a beautiful a description of a scene that he's talking about. Or maybe it's right in his backyard. I don't know.
Works perfectly for me. Yep, absolutely. And Hannah, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, this he's a true poet. I mean, this is well done. I think he doesn't use real common rhyme words.
Yes.
You read it beautifully. Yeah, I sort of blown away. I'm going to reread it a couple of times. This description and the metaphors and the words all pieced together very well. Yeah, nice job.
Nice, flows beautifully. Flows beautifully. So, Hannah, I see that while we have been talking about things, that did you want to read that piece, or did you want me to read it for you?
You read it, please.
I can do that. Hold on. I tried to hit it, and it was disappeared on me, Hatter.
Okay.
It came up with one of those horrible pink little boxes and said, "You hit something wrong." Is there another link to it?
It's up on the. You put it on the board. Oh!
Can you put?
Okay, I see. What I had done, I rewrote it, and I forgot to delete the first one. So you grabbed the first one. So it's. I'll post it real quick.
Okay.
Didn't realize anybody had grabbed it yet. Okay.
I will add some stuff. Okay. Here we go. I can see it again now. Okay. Let's give this one a go.
That's the wrong one again. Let me go get the good one.
Shoot. You're just trying to test me out, Hatter. You know, I mean, you put it up this time, and I thought, oh, that's going to work. No, it didn't. No, got pink box again. So the dreaded Kevin pink box of death, that one.
Yeah, I got
it. See it too many.
My bad. There goes.
Okay.
I'm
hitting.
Oh, wait a minute, that's the same one.
Hey,
that's the same one.
Hey, there's a poem there.
This
place that finds those things once mine by Jay Hatter, and it goes a little bit like this. Hearing the voices that fills each night echoes behind the faith so whispered that hold the names repeating the reasons that goes insane. When shadows step out of time, the faces shall hide behind the veils that carries the darkness away. When death arrives, the frail decides to colour the failing sky, a grey not seen before, the beginnings that we adore. Silence come winter in a cold-hearted chest, sleeping through chaos, avoiding the best that comes, free to us the peace we seek, while trying to keep the gathering crumbs to pile at our feet. Beware the darkness, if it comes for you. This place it finds, those things once mine, must heed these words that speak of things that others sing, knowing it must be true. End poem. Very spooky illustration too. Did you want to say a few words about...
Yes. In the middle there, when death arrives, the frail sides, the color falling sky, a gray not seen before, the beginnings that we adore, the description there is really awesome. I like the other couplet, too. This place, it finds those things once mine, must heed these words that speak of things that others sing, knowing it must be true. Hatter, it was sort of like three sets of rhythms there instead of two, which was pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, a little different than...
It was interesting to read, Hatter, because I kept on trying to use your normal rhythm and it didn't work.
I should have said something to you that it wouldn't be the regular cadence, more of a run-on sentence type.
And then the other bit was I was trying to work out absent commas, where the clauses were, so to try and work out what was linking. Yeah. And
it's not very clear.
I'm struggling as I went through. Because it wasn't
read it,
clear,
you read it.
Because it just I don't know whether I read it well or not, Hatter. I'm not sure. If you say I did okay, I'm happy.
I should have warned you.
It was a bit like me showing up with a poem that was really black.
I should have warned you.
Interesting. It didn't rhyme, but it was long form. Anyway, that's okay. That's cool. But I just got stuck a little. Dave, what did you think?
Well, I like this, and I thought you did a great job of reading it, AP. This sort of reminds me of thoughts that all of us have concerning life and death and just random things that we observe as humans as we go through life. I thought Hatter did a real good job of rounding all that up and putting it into a brief storyline for us all to read and ponder. I don't know. I can't say anything more about Hatter's stuff because I said it all before. I love all of it. And he always conveys his thoughts most excellent. And this is nothing out of the ordinary for him, I think. I think it's beautiful. So nice job, Hatter.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, it's trying to step out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, no, great comment. Comments. Okay, well, I am going to play one of the SoundClouds now since I've got them in the studio, Deb. I was probably going to grab Budo's first because I haven't heard anything Budo from ages, actually. So I was just going to put that there, and then I was going to grab your poem, Dave, and do that next.
Okay.
So that was my sort of order, just so that you know what's coming.
Okay.
And so we have a SoundCloud that Budo provided for this particular piece, and it goes for a long time. We'll be back in 4 and a bit minutes.
And when we live
Buddha, thank you. I've missed the guitar and the lyrics. Somehow I always think of George Harrison when I hear you play the guitar and sing. That's just me. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Buddha?
Yeah, but you said George, but I was going to say it had a Beatles feel again. And there was something like a combo of love, spiritual feel to it that was really beautiful. I often wonder if he's ever tried to send a song to, like, you know, one of the places in Nashville or something, because he's very good at songs.
He is. Absolutely is.
Yeah.
So,
great job.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, Dave, what did you think of Buddha's piece?
Well, first of all, I think the lyrics in this song are lovely. They're just gorgeous. And it shows his respect for women in general. You know, he's thankful that he has this woman's love, and he's not afraid to tell her and, you know, and illustrate all the reasons why he loves her. I think it's gorgeous. And because I'm a musician, I like the melody and the way it went, and the chorus and the whole nine yards. Dan's a really good musician, and I would love to play with him sometime, just jam along with him. I think it would really be fun.
he's very good. Yeah, a great comment. And Hannah, what do you think?
Yeah, that's funny. I was hearing a little Tom Petty on the slower melodies.
Yeah.
So a little Traveling Wilburys, I guess, with Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And, so and you're right, Dave. The lyrics are true music. Miss you, Buddha. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's great to have you back. So thank you. Now I am going to go to the board. Now, Dave, you've got a couple of poems here. Which one did you want me to grab first?
Oh, gee whiz. The one about the bell, I guess.
The bell? The bell it is.
The tolling of the big bell.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, okay. Okay, it's up on the board now.
Okay. All right, well, this poem was written for a contest this lady Joanna Stratford is holding, and it is about the song High Hopes off the Division Bell album that Pink Floyd did. And she said it was one of her favorite songs, and it's one of my favorite songs on that album, too. And so this is kind of my take on it, and it's called The Tolling of the Big Bell. The clear blue skies of childhood, its memories forever etched within the clockwork of our minds, reminding us of all those better times, those sullen gray clouds now decked off in leaden skies, blown by the storms of old age. Goodbye, blue skies, goodbye. Bifocals on our other side, promises of greener grass, if only from a slim, invisible line that separates today from yesterday. The tiger of entropy keeps us on our side of that line, on our island of time we stand on all alone. Still the bell tolls its call, redshifted by all of life's curvature of space-time, all those black holes that tug at our happiness, inevitable as they all are, modulates the bell's song, a siren so beautiful we cannot look away. Our friends surround us as they live and die, a sword of mortality brandished in broad strokes in front of a shy audience as we kiss our talisman goodnight. Its false faith will not chase away the truth. Remembrance of our own 15 minutes of fame lights a slight glimmer to a smile long since put away, not often seen by a hunger still unsatisfied, somehow will be realized in days of future past. Its chorus rolls ever on, over and over, its time signature and chorus perfectly in time with your soul, only with your own humility, only if you unlock its cage with the key of introspection and the utterance, I don't know the answer. Purple litten epitaph glowing across your future tombstone clears those leaden skies at last. End poem.
Well, that's interesting. That's a sort of piece of sort of deeply philosophical introspection. So I'm so used to the Black Mother and all those stories that are happening out in the nebula somewhere that I don't recall a poem like that from you, which is good. I like that. It's different.
Thank you.
Yeah, really interesting. Hannah, what did you think?
Unmuted. Yeah, there we go. I like the storyline you were presenting. I heard a little Moody Blues in there too. Songs of Future Past, Days of Future Past. There was a part that caught me. Oh, the shy audience, in front of a shy audience as we kiss our talisman goodnight, its false faith will not chase away the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deep statement. It sort of stood out to me. Nicely done.
Thank you, Hannah.
Great comment, Hannah.
Yeah, you're welcome.
If you want to say a few words.
Yeah, this is a bit different. I too kept trying to figure out how he was going to tie in the Dark Mother. That's funny. But, Dave, there's this one stanza that really sticks out. The remembrance of our own 15 minutes of fame lights a slight glimmer to a smile long since put away. I love the wording there. I mean, you did a great job, period, but for some reason that stanza really resonates. I think it's awesome.
Oh, thank you, Deb.
Yeah, I really like that poem. I liked the thinking sort of involved in it. And so I'm actually going to put my poem up now, which is not quite as deep as that, but it's a little bit philosophical anyway. And it's called The Hostility of Debate. And it goes a little bit like this. Ever the case, in different views, parties form, so debates in turn dissect. But with indifferences paid their dues, always for their foes showed respect. There was an honour to represent, a choice many worked hard to create. So moved their lives to the crescent, to the hill they turned to debate. Legislation and ideas were shared out of the best interests of he or she. somehow seems to be left paired, and arguments instead by degree, a sea of disappointment and fear that emanates from abroad river deep, children left like empty cans of beer, bitter eddies upon edges sweep. By Twitter, thrown away to X, where exchange is shallow to partisan fierce, emoji and insults without a care, while every person is left pierced. So it's fine to drive with great rage, put your opposition into a long trial, and all outside this can gauge is one continuous stream of bile in poem.
Okay, give us a little more on this.
Oh, you want a bit more on it, Patter?
Yeah, I want a little background, because I think you told me a little bit of it.
Look, I think that we've got ourselves into a sort of nasty sort of state at the minute where there's a lot of angry people and there's not a lot of people in the middle, Hatter. And there's a lot of polarization going on. And it's leading to... I won't call it debate, but it's leading to almost a trading of insults. And if I thought that was good, I wouldn't say anything. But I actually think the whole perspective of what's been going on with our governments is actually going and affecting people, real people, in terms of how they're approaching things and what they say and how they do them. And I think our children are watching this and they're just completely confused. And so that's my thinking, Hatter. And look, I can't recall a time where the political debate, and I'm not just talking about America, I'm talking about here too, has ever been so partisan and it's ever been so fierce.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like they know something we don't and they're not telling us. The way they're acting, because it makes no sense.
I don't know, Hatter, but it just seems to be setting a general sense of things not being quite right. And there's a hostility and angriness and nastiness and fear and swearing and horribleness that I've not seen before, and I don't like it very much. Anyway, that's why I wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah, some say it's a preparing for something that's going to happen. They don't know what.
I don't know, Hatter, but whatever it is, I don't like it. I just want to...
Yeah, I agree. You know. I agree. Yeah. Scary.
Anyways, Deb, did you want to start off with this one?
Yeah, you know, on this one, it's like it's not a one-sided thing. It's a world thing. And
it is. Absolutely.
Nobody truly stands for what they are trying to sell you that they are, from simple things to driving down the road and getting no common decency to the political webs that are being woven all over the globe. It's scary times and sad but true times. And like I said, it's not... Oh, anti-Democrats or anti-Republicans. Lack of
respect. Thing.
Yeah. I mean, even back in the day, neighbors helped neighbors, and children said please and thank you, and even that's getting lost. It's sad, and the poem you wrote is very potent.
Yeah. Thanks, Steph. Dave, what did you think of this one? Quite different, but what did you think of this one?
Oh, I really like this, and this hit the nail right on the head about what's going on these days. It just, like I wrote in my comment here, people don't show any respect for somebody else's opinion if it's, even a little bit different than yours. It doesn't have to be 180 degrees of diametrically opposed. If it's even off just a degree or two, then the only opinion that matters is theirs. And you can't. I remember when I was younger, you could have a decent civil discussion with somebody. Didn't matter what it was, whether it was cars or politics or whatever. And nobody got mad. Nobody went away feeling insulted or anything. But that's not the case anymore. And there's a whole class of, and I'm going to say this just because I'm an American, there's a whole class of Americans out there that are rude. They have no other things going on in their mind except what they can get out of life. And, you know, they don't give a damn whose toes they step on or how crass their statements are, or if they made anyone cry or feel uncomfortable. And I don't have the time of day for those people. I will not tolerate them. I don't even talk to them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's too small of me, but that's just the way I am. I thought it was a great poem.
Thanks, Doug. And Hatta, we did talk a little bit about it, but do you have any other comments to make on this one?
No, except it was well said. I think I had an advantage knowing a little bit ahead of time when you read it. So I think you wrote it very well. Yeah.
It's a funny one because I don't know, it's just been eating away at me for a number of weeks. And it's time then. Exactly right. When in doubt, right. We've gone to the proper poet now, so we've turned over. So let's put that up on the board now. And Titus, I'm playing your SoundCloud now, so thank you.
A still life version, no less. From so shallow roots and soil so sparse, an orchid, for whom her inner goodness did not have love to await her under glass. Sleeping beauty, a still life version no less. How far from deep within can all those dreams we've made when in fact time was against all the odds, went into flower, the things love is wary of what happens next, sense steeples, open the delight to all apparels, the opulent deluge of honey as it trickles, consent shows beauty resting on its laurels, pistols of lead to be palpitating ventricles. Had my life depended on my missing out, her opening her eyes that night, I've died many times before, I could see so devout, like virgin oil, honey slavers do coincide.
Now, that is a beautiful piece. I actually heard that one yesterday with Linda, Titus and spoke about it then. A beautiful poem. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Titus's piece?
Am I on the wrong link?
Oh, maybe.
Me too.
I hadn't noticed, but one link says one title and the other says. I kept trying to find the spot that I was.
I think we've got the different. You're right. It's got nothing to do with that piece. There, it was the piece yesterday. Titus, for playing SoundCloud.
In case Titus is listening, this one starts. What's the first line? An autumn walk. It's supposed to be the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just had a quick look, and it's completely different. So let's skip that for now, Deb, and see if we can work out what might have happened there. And I might get Lawrence 67's poem, because I traditionally read these, by the way. So I hope you are okay with that, Lawrence, because otherwise you're not hearing anybody else do it, but bear with me, is Lawrence 67 with Hey, 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 and his ongoing a group of Nigel and Alfie. So this is The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie, and it goes a bit like this. Nigel, I said, hey, hey, hey. Alfie, hey, hey, hey. Princess, what, what, what? Ralph, Ralph, the Chihuahua dog says, Ralph, 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 Ralph. We all say, hey, hey, hey. We're looking for some JCA. We say, hey, 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 we need some JCA. What you say, 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 you need some JCA? Well, then, hey, 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 better get some JCA. Hey, 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 get me some JCA. End poem. I inquisitively look at the page, see what I've read and what I've missed, and I go to Deb for a comic.
You know, that was like one of the I'd say sillier ones. Like he was probably having fun with the goofy voice and we need some JCA. I'm thinking that maybe he doesn't realize that he's doing the radio shows again and that he wants to hear from them, because for a while there, Jay was reading his pieces and putting all these different voices in it and stuff. So I think maybe we should mention to Jay that he is very missed by
might
Lawrence. Just saying.
Yeah, we might have to get reading. That's true. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. And I note with interest that we have a visitor, and welcome in, Sweet Pea. How are you going?
Sweet Pea, to dance with me.
Sweet. How are you?
Hello, how are you? I got some JCA every other Sunday night on Murder and Mayhem if you want some JCA. I'll give you a piece of JCA.
Well, that's exactly right. And we'll have to get Gage to do some recordings or something. How are you going, Sweet? Last time I saw you, you were looking slightly colorful.
I'm a little more colorful but less swollen.
Well, that's probably a good place to be, Sweet. In the wider scheme of things,
What color are the bruises?
They're very dark purple.
Yuck. That's not nice. Had some of those. Horrible. Yeah, not nice.
Yeah.
Sweet, I know you've been on timetables and stuff and have had not much time recently. Is this one of those occasions, or do you have some time?
I got a little bit of time.
Oh, well, that's nice. But, well, I have put your poem that you put on the board up on the board for you to read.
Okay.
Given the talk.
Cool. Awesome. I would love to read about Sonny and Cher.
Please do.
Okay. All right, let me refresh my page.
I like it already. I like the pie on the system.
I got you to understand.
Well, I got it. This is Sonny and Cher Compute. Sonny and Cher were sitting at the bar complaining, a human concept. Walking by, I couldn't resist the chance to interject on the gibberish programming within their cybergenetics. I spoke at them looking into their fake glass eyes. Both tried to engage me, but my questions were crazy. My jokes produced no laughter, program failure, or lazy manufacturers. Hey, wake up, Walt Disney. The world has mastered the illusion of magic. Motherboards and wires cross-checked and confirmed by bioinformatics. Zero probabilities of Darwin's theory where humans evolved into plastic. Sonny and Cher, I couldn't resist. I insisted they sing. Out of their holes came voices of old, emotionless radio blaring. No wild applause, not a wet eye in the house. People started to leave. Legitimate points, Sonny presented his zeros and ones, allowed arguments. AI flies, airplanes float ships, guides satellites, and protects governments. Teaches lessons in all language children on 7 continents. The word to enunciate is artificial, not intelligent, for that is a human trait. Written is the code. Written code is the concept of human thought, not the monster of our fate. From the oxen plowing fields to soil test on Mars, we have the future to create. I am not afraid. I am blood. I am blood, flesh, and bone, breathing in life. AI cannot know. AI takes on a different forms, but it is a washing machine with a high-class brain. Should have my glasses when I read. End poem.
Oh, there's an extra line added at the end there. Wait, I noticed that.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very nice. The whole thing about AI scares the living bejeebus out of me sometimes and interests me no end on others. And so I think this does I love Sunny and Sher. That's just really cute. Really cute.
Thank you.
And it is somehow sort of strangely iconic to the whole AI sort of thing, really. And and I understand from Deb that there's even sort of AI wandering around all poetry. There's all AI-based users, but there's a fake Kevin account, which is AI.
Yes.
So AI is sort of being infused into everything we do in a very Sunny and Sher way. So anyway, with that, great poem, by the way. Really interesting. I'm going to pass across to you for comment.
Daughters, I love, love, love the play on Sunny and Sher, the spelling difference, but it puts them in mind. So it made me giggle when you got to the part where Sunny and Sher, I couldn't resist. I insisted they sing. And that just, it really struck me funny. And what was that? A legitimate point, Sunny presents his zeros and ones allowed arguments. Even the Sunny and Sher computing is arguing. So, you know, it just brings back the fact that everybody around the world arguing from the AI to the human. Sad state of affairs, but this is really, really cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Yeah, great comment. Hannah, what did you think of this one?
Well, I've come to the notion that we can defeat AI by abstract thinking, flailing thoughts type thing.
Okay.
As long as we understand the language. It's sort of like we have the gift of a code that our grandkids don't have, and that's cursive writing. They don't know what it is. They don't know how to read it.
Yeah. Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
I was thinking that we could defeat AI that way, but it looks like they're attacking that angle at the beginning. How to think abstractly, and that's frightening to me.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. So no. Great comment. Thank you, Hannah. And Dave, did you want to say a few words?
Oh, I sure did. I am not a fan of this artificial intelligence. It is bannered around nowadays because it's new, and everybody thinks it's the last hurrah, I guess. I don't know. It can only go so far, and, you know, if it wasn't for humans, it wouldn't exist. So it's always going to be, there's always going to be an uplink to humanity from AI, and I thought that Pam did a really fine job writing this up. I like this one stanza that says, Sunny and Sher, I couldn't resist. I insisted they sing. Out of their holes came voices of old, emotionless radio blaring. No wild applause, not a wet eye in the house. People started to leave. I've been in rock concerts where people got up and left. So, you know, I know how that would feel if I were the person on stage. This is really good. I really enjoyed this one a lot. In fact, this will probably go on my page as a link here. So on my favorites, I think. Yeah.
Thank you, Dad. All right, comment.
You're welcome.
Sweet. you're happy to sit around for us with a little while? I've got a couple of poems to read, and we've got a classic to do,
okay.
And Dave's got one more to go, and we've got a few bits and pieces. So let's
awesome.
Get into them. This is one that's been sent to us by Dave Muddy called More Than a Rhyme, and it goes a bit like this. Nursery rhymes all sounding nice while dark abuse takes its price. Tears ignite a hidden shame. Ugly lies are left to blame. Innocence lost, the brutal plight left all alone with none to fight. The silence curse just screams and shouts, damaging souls, through love it routs. The sparkling dims as diamonds thin, crushed by desire as a selfish sin. Bruises disguised but left unhealed, love misplaced as disgrace is yelled. Bitter words harm and drown young lives, our eyes are turned as evil thrives. Compassion whispered in hushed tones, pain deeper, broken bones. Time for us all to open eyes, compelled to love when a child sighs, prepared to act as Jesus guides, active with strength that he provides. Giving more than a nursery rhyme, lifting their worth from all the grime. Morning tears that transforms our minds so each child a safe refuge finds. The beauty of grace we all receive, more of God's love we now perceive. Compassion's voice demands that we stand beside each child as we take their hand. End poem. Yeah? But went one way and I wasn't sure which way it was going and it went that way. Sweet. What did you think of Dave's poem?
I think I might have to reread that poem. It
mm-hmm.
kind of got me in a befuddlement. I don't really know this poet, to be honest.
Okay, well, that's okay. We can be befuddled sometimes. That's okay.
So let me, I will write him a lovely comment, I'm certain, but... I will be befuddled right at this moment.
Yes, okay. So, befuddled's fine. Deb, did you want to say a few words on Dave's poem?
If you read the author's notes, it gives the hint of what that all is.
I can do that. Hold on. Just bear with me, Hannah. I can do that. It says... The author's notes say, this poem explores a dark theme, but one that should not be ignored. Children deserve our
compassion.
Well, see, that makes... Okay, that makes much more sense to me, because you were speaking about children, and I was like, well, how are we going there? Are we going here? Because it was more like, I wasn't sure if he was on the edge of, like,
mm-hmm.
you know... Because it reminded me of the darker fairy tales of, like, the Grimm brothers.
It
kind of edged to it.
Yeah,
it was edgy like the Grimms, which is really cool. But you don't, you know, with a poet, I like the darkness in it. And I like the Grimm edge. And I like the way he presented it. And I really, really like dark poetry, as we all know. But sometimes when you're playing with the nursery rhymes and stuff, you want to be very cautious with a poet you're not really sure of. So I was befuddled, but I really like your style, just FYI. So I will definitely be leaving a much more in-depth comment about your style and the way I like the way you write.
thanks, Sweat.
Yeah,
I put
in a comment that he should I'm sorry.
No, keep going.
No, I commented on it and said that the reader needs to know that author's notes and the prompt before they read it.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to you when you know.
Agree.
It's one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Agree with you. And Dave, what did you think of this one? Hello, Dave.
Unmuted.
We might have stepped away for a bit.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I like this a lot. I like the storyline in it, how it addresses children, and you know what how we should handle that. And the poem, the storyline in it is really well structured, and the meter of it is great, and it rhymes well.
Yeah.
I really like this poem a lot. He did a good job on it. I agree with Sweet. I'm not familiar with this poet, but I think I might read some more of his stuff after this.
No, very good. Great comment, Dave. Thank you. And Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, but on a side note, it's an open poetry show, but it seems like tonight there's a theme towards all the stuff going on in the world,
or
calling attention to stuff, which is pretty cool. And in this poem, it's got a lot of hard-hitting stanzas, but I'm quite taken by bitter words harm and drown young lies. Our eyes are turned as evil thrives because people don't care anymore. They just turn their heads or drive by or whatever. So that line struck me, and then compassion whispered in hushed tones, the pain is deeper than their broken bones. And it's just so, so sad. And I don't know, there's something about that one particular stanza, but the entire poem is really great.
Yeah. No, very interesting, because I've actually got a poem by Lockdown Flux next, and that's his poem Missing. And it's a very similar theme, so I'm going to read that now. It goes a little bit like this. Time passes with no regret, the young living life carefree. As twilight nears, there is a yet, an ending to a destiny. It was handed down to me, stories told of eternal things. Science gives others views to see, it must be logic that eventually sings. It seems there is an unrest gathering, technology speeding up all knowledge, enmity that polarity is sourcing, humanity living on a life edge. Chances are a red mist will descend. Someone presses the button, nuclear. Time will allow Earth to transcend. Is there time left for hope to appear? One thing's for sure, there is no but if I miss this next part. End poem. We have a golfing finish. I wasn't expecting that either. We've been doing some unexpected endings. Hatter, what did you think of Missing?
Yeah, I was sort of figuring, the ending sort of threw me too. I missed the next putt. So it's like a random thought process you do when you're walking the fairway, or walking up to the green. That doesn't change it, though. Where was it? It was handed down to me, stories told of internal things. Science gives others views to see. It must be logic that eventually sings. It's a passage of doomsday, but
yeah,
it's a random thought. I think that's a good angle, and I don't know if that was what it was going for, but
it works for me, Hannah. Dave, what did you think of this one?
Oh, I liked it a lot. I thought it was interesting. He seems to have his finger on a pulse of things that's going on nowadays. And, when you hear about what, all the baloney that comes out of Putin's mouth, it's kind of scary because you don't throw that kind of language around, haphazardly. I mean, when you start talking about nukes and stuff like that, that gets people's attention, and it causes us to take notice. And it says chances are a red mist will descend. Someone presses the button. Nuclear time will allow the Earth to transcend. Is there time left for hope to appear? Basically, it's saying that after we go through a nuclear war and everybody's dead, the good old Earth will eventually come back around again and heal itself, but is there time left for hope to appear? I don't know. That's that's kind of what I got out of it. I thought it was interesting.
Okay, I think that. And Sweet, what did you think?
Oh, what will history write of us if there is an us to write, a history to read?
Mm. Yes.
That is
I'm not sure.
I think that's where we're sending stuff out in space.
Well, at least eventually,
this rock will be taken out.
But no, thank you, Sweet.
Quite
receptive. Deb, what did you think of this one? Hello, Deb.
I was sending a message to lockdown. Yeah, I see what you mean about it being another one that is about in-your-face stuff. And I was trying to figure out where that twist went, and then, I looked at the author's notes, and it's a form, and at the end you're supposed to do a flip and just go in the direction. Well, I think he did it really, really well. Because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. I saw
very
that,
cool.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. No, thanks, Deb. You're right. There was some purpose behind the flip because he needed to do it for the form. So, okie doke. I am moving onwards to Heavenly Angel. She has a poem, Love Like a Tidal Wave, and it goes a bit like this. There's a dreamy Texas full moon in the sky tonight. It feels like heaven with you holding me tight. I melt like butter when your lips touch mine and my body trembles with your every touch. Two hearts in symphony, a language, a melody only you and I understand. How you hypnotize and tantalize lying next to me with your whispers of love soft as a murmuring breeze. Knowing our lovemaking's about to begin, the feel of butterflies tingle deep within. As you kiss me and lovingly caress my hair, love like a tidal wave consumes me. One cannot hold back. A rising tide. End poem. There you go. There was no twist in that. It just went straight down the line. I kind of like that about it. Ah, Sweet, what do you think of Heavenly Angels, please?
Oh, to have such a Valentine.
Yes.
Oh, my body trembles with your every touch. Only you and I understand. Soft as a murmuring breeze. One cannot hold back a rising tide, which is the last line of every stanza. And that is perfect. So that's what I think about that. I love the last line.
Yep.
It makes its own little poem. So it's beautiful, well written, and just perfectly beautiful.
Sweet. And Deb, what did you think?
Quote, it oozes romance. I think that I should say congratulations because it was picked for the front page on the 7th. I was actually looking to see, I've come to the point now where I always go back up and look to see whether it is or is not a collab because it looks like it is. The two of them have written so many, and there's just a few of them in her author's notes there. And they write so flawlessly together that I have, like I said, I have to go and look and see, is this a collab? It's just beautifully romantic.
Very, very romantic. Yeah. Hannah, did you see the romance, hear the romance?
Yeah. This is just absolutely beautiful. There's a dreamy Texas full moon in the sky tonight. It feels like heaven with you holding me tight. I melt like butter. My body trembles with your every touch. Yeah, I'm just jealous. Very good.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Great. Thank you, Hannah. And Dave, what did you think of this piece? Mr. Prophet? Hello, Dave. Oh, he might have dropped.
And it's down.
I think he did. Okay. So we've now got a poem on the board by Gerald Green. Gerald always sends us SoundCloud. Does a wonderful job with them. And so I am going to play his SoundCloud now.
Her condition. written and read by Gerald Green. She couldn't believe she was pregnant, refused to accept it as true. She sought out a second opinion to ascertain when she was due. In 6 months, she'll be a new mother, the month she was set to retire. Those years she was hoping to savor have been her primary desire. But now she is having a baby, a decades-long tough marathon that redefines life and her family, all caused by a midnight liaison. She ponders this giant disruption. Her husband will blame it on her. No matter whose fault at this juncture, their life will speed up to a blur. This should be a time for relaxing, with life rendered gentle and slow. Instead, she is filled with an anger at his stratospheric libido. Their children will cry out in horror. The grandchildren won't understand how such a catastrophe happens unless it is needed and planned. Each neighbor will laugh in amazement. The church will declare it a miracle. Her colleagues might mock her condition and judge her behavior incurable. But nothing will change in Sient. A new life is now on its way, about to upset with its presence, no matter what bystanders say.
It sounds to me, Gerald, like so much of a true story. I can't begin to tell you. It's just the way you've written it sounds like that. I don't know if you've made it up or it's a true story, because I can see the author's notes, but it just sounded real. So great story, beautifully told, as always. Hannah, what did you think of that piece?
It is very well, it's very well written to start with, but the thought and the I love the rhyme, the words he used. It's a very strong, powerful piece, and it does show some of the flaws of our social thought about neighbors and whatever. Wow, and you know that's something you didn't think of.
No, points out.
Damn.
That quite a lot of judgment, but absolutely, it's interesting. Deb, what did you think?
Well, I kind of thought it was a humorous approach to the photo. You have the obviously by the beautifully platinum long hair. She's not a 30-year-old, and she's holding her belly there. And there's some of the pieces like the children will cry in horror, and the grandchildren will understand. I thought that was, like I said, it made me giggle some. And the church will declare it a miracle. I just think this was kind of a really, really clever approach to the art. Share, Gerald.
Yeah, I can see that. Sweet, what did you think?
All I got to say is, how old was Moses when he last fathered his son? I mean, this is funny and humorous. I mean, it's just got a lot to it. I mean, nowadays, people are having babies older and older. I mean, you've got, I think my brother and his wife adopted their child when they were in their 40s. And my son had his child. I mean, when he's just now 40, his son is 5. I mean, it's just getting to be older and older where people are having kids. And I think this is kind of a nod to that, to where 35, 38 is kind of a norm now, to where they're just starting to have children. And I mean, how much later is it going to get to be? Are we going to have a generation where, 42, 43 is the norm to start having your children? I think it's an interesting concept.
Didn't Keith Richards just have a kid?
Yeah.
Keith Richards.
Thank you.
From the Stones. I think he had a kid.
Yeah. Dave, did you want to say a few words about this piece? And then I'll get you to read your piece up on the board.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to say something about this. You know, there's nothing sadder, in my opinion, than a 16-year-old girl getting pregnant. I mean, it takes her out of school.
Yeah.
It takes her life away from her until the child is old enough to look after itself. That's a long time. And, you know, if a parent gets, you know, a woman gets pregnant when she's 38, all of that education and a lot of that, her living has already went by. And so she can dedicate the time to raising that child and loving it. And so can her husband. And it's to me, it's in a better time span than when you're 16 or 17 or whatever, you know, in your teenage years. And I thought this was really well handled. I agree with some of the ladies here. I thought it was kind of funny in some spots. But Gerald really addressed this wonderfully. And I think it's a great poem. It's really good.
Well, there you go. Well done.
Hide,
and Dave, I've got
the ages.
For your...
It should not tell the ages of Romeo and Juliet. Yeah.
No, I'm not quite there, but yeah, I know. Okie doke, we've got your poem up on the board, Dave.
I see one here that says one written by Jenny the Deep, but I don't see mine on there.
It's the next one up.
Above it?
It's above
if you go
above
up the page. It's above it.
Oh, okay. I see it now. Okay. All right. This is called The Ghost from TDC. And when I was in Korea, I was stationed in a village up north in South Korea called Tongduchan. That's what everybody just called TDC. Tongduchan. In 1968, I was there without any care. U.S. Army's child to bear. Stepping out of an airplane, Korea's hot breath regained, hits me in the face with its subtropical coxswain. Takes me back a step or two. Camouflaged phantoms overhead flew to some vanishing point. Who knew? Where? Her shirakos tinted in rice paddy phantasmia bear testament to their origins in our anomia. Can't quite put your finger on the vanity of Western fertilizers. Tongduchan by the river, to its people an almsgiver, killed by U.S. Army's arrows from its infinite quiver, going down to the bill to get my fill of black market music until my lady from Korea comes to sit beside me. I buy her drinks just to see her sitting on my knee, her exotic hooded eyes that plea. Will I help her heart today? She would like me to say, would you marry me some way? Perhaps I should convey what my heart thinks of her in times that are and those that were. I take her things from the PX, toothpaste, mouthwash, and respect. Shows me her smile in dental perfection, all natural efforts to her own dilection. Her skin, a tan of light brown, glistening obsidian hair wrapped around. Her pretty neck to me with will always astound. Her simple beauty and minimal makeup. Tongduchan's business lady, always honest, never shady. She's just trying to survive, like the rest of us. I sit and talk with her for hours. Sometimes I hold her and her flowers, artificial ones, forever bloom after hours until I bring her the real ones. Gets so excited that she cries, crystalline tears from hooded eyes. God, she's so beautiful, I should have married her. The other night, her ghost appeared to me alone, and my heartstrings peered back in time to my heart was speared, just a phantom in my memory's hoard, wondering how she is today and how to you would I say how much my heart holds her way and how Korea holds me in its sway. I came back from there a changed man. God put me there to understand how this woman I could help. She is forever within my heart. I have never forgotten Korea, nor will I ever forget her. They called her Jenny, and so did I. Whispered her name in her ear. Took away all her fears for that day. I have not forgotten thee. I miss you, Jenny. Your time's with me. I should have married you. End poem.
Oh, I don't think I've heard a story like that from you, Dave, either. That is very personal, very touching. And there was a genuine sadness in your voice as you read it. Sweet, what did you think of that poem?
Well, it's odd to hear Dave have a love poem for anybody but the Dark Mother. So this was beautiful. And you could hear a deep longing and kind of, you know, that sadness. And it's good to hear something beautiful come out of that, because when we hear about Korea and Vietnam, it's always so gruesome and sad. Mm. And it's here something of such beauty, of beauty and flowers and longing. And there were so many horrible things. So I'm glad there's such a beautiful memory there for you.
Thank you.
That's a lovely comment. Thanks, Sway. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah. First, Dave, thanks for your service. But I think this poem here is a testament to why we constantly say on the shows that the poems are better if read by the poet, because
yep.
we didn't have to get to the author's notes to find out that it's a real story,
yep.
that it's a heartfelt memory, because it showed in your voice as you read it along, and with all the details and stuff. Oh, and I really liked the metaphor, camouflage phantoms overhead flew, because it was like phantom, like the name of a aircraft, but also phantoms like demon, like phantoms, like shadows. So I thought that was very clever. Awesome share, Dave.
Thank you, Jim.
Yep. Great comment. And Hadda, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, my heart just breaks hearing you read this. Where is TDC in the country?
Big pardon?
Where is the town you're in, the village?
It's about 40 miles, 40 air miles south of DMZ in Korea. It's fairly far. It's located on a compound called Camp Casey, and that's an army base. So, yeah.
Are we still there? Are we still there?
Yeah. Yeah, 2nd Infantry Division is,
So in your heart, what do you think happened to her? Where is she now?
I don't know. I hope she's still okay. She was younger than I am, so if she's in halfway decent health, she should still be alive. I don't know what's happened to her.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the brides that GIs married when they were overseas didn't work out very well, but I think a lot of the Koreans did, because the Koreans are a very genuine people, and they're not phony, and they're actually great craftsmen. They're wonderful people. I just fell in love with them when I was over there, and so I think they probably would make a good wife. I should have married this one gal. She was amazing, and those women are so clean. God, they just take such immaculate care of themselves. And that one thing in there about their teeth, you know, they eat a diet of a lot of cooked vegetables and stuff. Well, one of them is a dish called kimchi, and it just makes your breath not good. And those girls would eat that once
kimchi
in a while, and they would go out of their way. They would floss their teeth and rinse their mouths out, and it's no wonder their teeth were perfect. I mean, I never seen a Korean woman that had bad teeth. I never did, you know. So,
done. All good. So, thank you, Hadda. Thank you, Dave. Great poem. I'm going to Jenny Deep, and then I've got the classic poem, and then I've got a story and a song to finish. So, this is this poem that Jenny's given to us. So, thank you again, Jenny. Is negative versus positive affirmations which will win? And it goes a bit like this. Stuck inside my head of belittling voices, dare I listen or can I make better choices? Believing what's nasty is more my cup of tea. It's easier to fill up on seething negativity than it is positivity. I must ask, though, which is the stronger of the two? Am I giving up on myself too soon? If I lift my malignant mental blinders, it may be easier to follow these little reminders. You are enough. Your feelings are valid. Ignore the hasty, harsh inner world salad. It's okay to set boundaries and to say no. If others can't respect that, then let them go. Mistakes happen. Don't be so hard on yourself. Simply dust invited bad days off your shelf. Easier said than done is the inner tune I hear. Hard to just breathe when it's me that I fear. Am I capable of amazing things? As soon as I start believing I am, doubt then sins. I want to always remember that I am worthy to be loved, that the enemy within needs to be shoved. End poem. Yeah, that's fun. I like that. Deb, did you want to say a few words about that piece?
Yeah, for one, I like the question in her title, negative versus positive affirmations, which will win. Another one with a perfectly good question that makes you think of your, my mind started spinning right away, wondering where she was going to take it, because, you know, I wonder that about certain things every day, depending on the circumstance. But where's it's the middle. You are enough. Your feelings are valid. Ignore the hasty, harsh inner word word salad. It's okay to set boundaries and say no. If others can't respect that, then let them go. And that's a hard thing, especially the younger you are, because you want, like, you want to be friends with everybody and you want them to like you, and sometimes if you don't, you know, if you say no, even as an adult, yeah, when you say no, people aren't very fond of it, so it's hard to teach and harder to learn to make yourself more of a priority, is what I got out of that stanza. That one was pretty good, but the whole poem is very deep. It can take you in a lot of directions. Great share, Denny.
Yeah, no, I agree. Great comment. And Hannah, what did you think of Jenny's poem?
Yeah, Deb's got it right. And I think when she asked the question at the end of the poem, am I capable of amazing things? I want to always remember that I am worthy. Just self-examination. You can't let people around you knock you down just because that's their words.
Yes.
Because that's all they are.
Yes.
That's all they are. And like Deb said, when you're younger, you want to be accepted so bad. You're willing to be easier or forget how you feel rather than and end up how they feel. And,
yeah, absolutely.
That's not how it works. So yeah, that's a good piece.
No, I agree. And Dave, what did you think of this piece? Hello, Dave. Oh, I think we might have lost Dave.
I'm sorry. No, I'm really glad she wrote this. This entire idea of positive affirmations and stuff, it needs to be reiterated over and over again, especially in America. There's preconceived notions about how you should behave or what you should be or how much money you should make or what kind of a car you should drive. That's all bullshit. It's more, you know, of what you believe in yourself. You have to be realistic about it, and you have to have a certain amount of humility when you look into yourself to see what you can improve in and where you really are. And when you start to think about it, you know, you think, well, hey, I can do that, and not that many people can. So that's a positive affirmation to yourself. You know, it doesn't hurt to take stock of that every now and then, you know, especially if you start feeling insecure about yourself and stuff. You have to sit down and say, count all of your blessings, I guess, or count all of your attributes that you have and all the things that you've achieved in your life, and reflect on that for a while. And if people are telling you otherwise, then they need to sit down and do a little soul searching themselves. And you don't need to to be around those people. And I agree with what Deb said. It is harder to do that when you're younger.
Yep.
But once you get to be older, then you sort of let go of some of that garbage that you thought was important when you were young. And it helps you. It's a more mature outlook, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. This was really, really well done.
Well, I want you to remember that comment in the tick. We've got the classic poem that I'm going to story before we finish. And Deb chose this classic poem for two reasons, the descriptions and because we're only days away from Valentine's Day and it speaks to love. So this is a poem called Love's Philosophy by Percy Bysshe Shelley, from 1792 born, so the early 1800s. The fountains mingle with the river and the rivers with the ocean. The winds of heaven mix forever with a sweet emotion. Nothing in the world is single, all things by a law divine. In one another's beings mingle, why not I with thine? Two. See the mountains kiss high heaven, and the waves clasp one another. No sister flower would be forgiven if it disdained its brother. And the sunlight clasps the earth, and the moonbeams kiss the sea. What are all these kissings worth? If thou kiss not me. End poem.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good, Deb. That's a good choice. I like that poem.
Now,
I am going to Deb. I'm going to you, Deb, for what is coming up on the Team of Voices.
On the next three shows, we have Personal Prompt Monday with me at 10 p.m. Just click the link I put on the board and claim your prompt. On Tuesday night, it is Hatter's Jukebox, and he's featuring Gary Moore, and that's at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then on Wednesday, usually it's between 9 and 9:30, depending on her schedule for her start, and she is featuring the Star Wars Volume 34 episode with the Last Jedi.
Yes.
For information on any of those, you can click the links that are on the chat wall. And those are the next three.
Brilliant. Thank you, Deb. Okie doke. Now, I am going to go out with a song, an Australian song, because we play this song at our sort of football finals. And I know it's time for the Super Bowl coming up, so I sort of thought it was vaguely appropriate to play a song you would associate with finals and big things, but this, is an Australian band. It's an Australian band called Hunters and Collectors, and they are an Australian rock band formed in 1981, and they are a pub rock band, and they had five members, classics of rock, guitar and lead singer and drums and bass and all that stuff. Anyway, personal connection to this. My father was an accounting professor at one of the universities here in Melbourne, and he had a secretary that supported him, helped him out with all of the stuff that he was doing. Anyway, his secretary came to him one day and said, look, I'm really disappointed because I've got a son that's doing first-year law at Melbourne University, and going to give it away. And my father said, oh, that's horrible. You know, what's he say he's going to do? And he said, oh, you wouldn't believe this, but he's got four mates that are in the course and they've been playing the odd gig here or there at pubs and at stuff, and they've been going well, and he assures me it's going to be fine, but he's going to actually give up the law degree to go and be the lead singer in a band. And my father sort of looked and said, really? And he said, yep. And his mother said, but I love him, and that's what he wants to do, and I'm going to support him. And His name is Mark Seymour, and he was the lead singer of Hunters and Collectors. So I'm going to go out with Holy Grail by Hunters and Collectors. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week for more Open Poetry. Thanks, everybody.
Go Niners!
Astro Mix.
Oh,
in the biggest army the world has ever seen. We were marching as one on the road to the Holy Grail. Started out seeking fortune and glory. It's a short song, but it's a hell of a story when you spend your lifetime trying to get your hands on the Holy. Heard about the Great Crusade. We ran into millions and nobody got paid. Yeah, we raised four corners of the globe for the Holy Grail.
Everybody, Hunters and Collectors, to Deb, to Sweet, to Dave for sticking through it with us, to Anna, Deb, and we've got all the shows on the board coming up. We'll be back with Open Poetry again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you in a week's time. Bye, everybody.
35-24 Niners. Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.